Surely, Lord, heaven is a beautiful place. And all that which your holy word, Lord, have described. And the prophets and the apostles, Lord, before us, they spoke of this wonderful place that I have shown them. John on the Isle of Patmos had a glimpse, O Father, of the wonderful place. And surely, Lord, in our heart, all this palpitation, Lord, and the deep desire and the longing to undergo to our home. For that is where we should be, Father. And this love on this earth is just but a passing phase, Lord. And we're just a pilgrims on a journey on this wilderness world. And we thank you, Father, for your grace that you have shown us all these wonderful things, the things that are in store for us. And so now, Father, as we gather here to sit and listen to thy word, we pray, Father, give us an understanding. We ask for your grace today now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, before I start my message, real part of the message, where I want to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ, his birth and his death. Because all on the internet, there are a lot of people that come up with their ideas and they post it out there. And recently I saw also on the internet, a brother sent it to me, a link about Jonathan Kahn. I think he's well known. I think he's a Messianic Jew. And many other charismatic preachers and all that, the American preacher especially, they said that Jesus Christ was born in April, in spring. And they went over into all these traditions and Jewish culture and all this and tried to prove that Jesus Christ was actually born in April. But we're going to look into the scripture. I want to make sure that you understand. And also about the death of Christ. When was he actually crucified? And bring all that stuff. So, my intention is that I want to make everybody look at the Bible very, very carefully. Alright, because it's not just something, oh, okay, that we understand that. And I said this one thing, oh, every time, that if we really love the Lord, we should love His Word. We don't want just to read the Bible, we want to study it, we want to understand it more. You understand? So before I go into that, I just want to bring in this something here, which have been, you know, as I said, I have told myself earlier that I'm not going to the Facebook, I'm not interested in Facebook, not putting my face on the book and things like that, but I got caught up because of the, you know, trying to buy a camcorder so on Carousel and so, you know, on the PC was not what it should be. If I have hearkened to the voice of my daughter who told me to take the app and put it on the mobile and it'd be easy, but I don't want to put all the apps on my mobile phone because there's so many apps there. See, so I went on to the PC and try to sign into Carousel, and it come in, my username is wrong, and password is wrong. 3-4 times, and okay, I create another one. Still the same thing, it's wrong. Third time it's wrong, I give up. And the following day, I go back again, and create, it's still the same. They finally tell me, go into the Facebook, sign in the Facebook. So what I do, I sign in Facebook. And lo and behold, after you sign in Facebook, I got so many ones, say, hello, Veronica, welcome to Facebook. You know, you say you're not going to be on Facebook, but now you're on Facebook, welcome. And everybody wants me to be friend. And there are almost 200 of them now. And some of them have even clicked, you know, and so. And I had a hard time trying to navigate between Facebook and Messenger and this and that. So, sometimes, you know, the phone dipped and I look at it, okay, somebody is asked me to be friend or something. And well, and then 2-3 days ago, I saw this post. I don't know whether it was Facebook or Messenger, now you're asking me. Okay. There was a brother in the Philippines who posted it. And he was asking the question, did God create viruses? You know? And if you create viruses, what was the purpose of that virus? Those viruses. You know? And so, well, there were a lot of comments, and some of them were in Tagalog, and I don't know whether it's Cebuano or not, but so, of course, I don't understand what they're writing. But then those that wrote in English, and, well, let's go to the command. So after a few days, I see, well, this just doesn't make any sense. They are just guessing. The question right now, the brother put, did God create viruses? And if he did create viruses, what are those viruses for? And also they were all guessing. So finally yesterday I posed it on. I said, viruses are microorganisms, like all other microorganisms, okay, that are created to serve a purpose, is to break down decaying tissues. Alright, like a fallen tree trunk, a fruit that dropped on the floor, before there were sins, okay, before sin came. Anything that is decaying and dying, it has to be broken down. And then someone said, well, I don't want to understand if it is bacteria, but viruses. Viruses has only one problem, it kills a person. It goes in the cell and breaks it down and voila, it disappears, something like that. But that's not true. You see, when they were writing all this, I was thinking the answer is common sense. I mean, maybe all of you don't have that common sense. But I understood it immediately why viruses are there. Okay? And one thing for sure, if you look at viruses, people think that viruses is very invasive. Now, in your body right now, you have viruses in your body. You have bacteria in the body. Right? Okay. So now, what is the main purpose of virus? Of the virus, viruses, plural, that God created. Do you know that they maintain the environments of the air, the land, and the sea? When there is an algae blooming out there in the ocean or in the sea, the virus will start breaking down. Because you know how algae can proliferate, right? And they maintain the carbon dioxide level. Wow, very strange, isn't it? They all have a purpose in this. I find people find it hard too, huh? But nothing could destroy the virus. That is not true. I told them, don't let medical science tell you any otherwise. There's only one way to kill the virus, and that is oxygen. And the brother said, oh yeah, now I remember what is all this hyperbolic chamber is all about now. You know? And then, last night, here came somebody and says, oh, all viruses, physical viruses are of the devil. You know, this quote is always, you know, it's a variation of quotes. Because Baba Abraham said all diseases are of the devil. So there's all viruses. Now he's saying all viruses are of the devil. I said, is that so? When God created this microorganism, they are all given a commandment. Every living thing are given a commandment. Be fruitful and multiply, right? And to the body organism, your commandment is to break down and maintain the environment. So when there is a decaying matter, viruses, bacteria will go and break it down to the elements of the earth, to the elements in the air. Your body is, how many elements are there in your body? Do you know your body is made up of nitrogen too? Huh? Hydrogen, whatever other gen thing, you know? Magnesium, also all those metallic element things. They have to break it down. If it's not broken down, it smells out there. If you just imagine millions of animals are dying out there in the field, what do you think? It smells, isn't it? So this bacteria will have to break it down quickly so they clean up the air. Viruses will play its part also to break it down. Very hard to believe because normally people understand. You see? So I said, if God commanded this microorganism to invade dying tissue, break down all these things, and he said, they are of the devil. They are merely obeying the Lord of God. Is that right? Isn't it? Is it not true? Does water, does river flow up here? Does river flow up here? No. They all have the Lord of gravity put things down. So they simply obey the law of God. Apple tree, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful. Bear what? Apple tree bears apple. You cannot tell the apple to do any otherwise because it bears apple. That's common sense. You see. So, Adonai doesn't know why when the body starts to die, God had to give a dietary law to his chosen people. Remember Moses' dietary law? So that when you eat healthy food, you live a healthy life, it prevents mass invasions of all these microorganisms to your body. That's true. You see? And microorganisms, they are good and a bad one. Your skin. Do you know you have a lot of microorganisms on your body? Bacteria on your body? Germs on your body? But try to keep on washing the soap and see what happened to your skin. You're killing all those good bacteria as well. And your skin is going to get, you know how people, you get eroded off. Because nothing prevents. In your guts, there are also good bacteria. Do you see the importance of these things? Okay, alright. That answers the question. Now, there are all these that are out there on YouTube trying to prove that Jesus Christ was born in the month of April. And they have various ways of trying to prove it. One of the ways the preacher whose YouTube was there, was saying that Jesus Christ was born in April because it was spring. That's what Brother Branham would say. And even to this day, many Branhamites will always use that against what I'm trying to prove. And then also, on the other hand, they said that this other one tried to say that that there are certain Christian sects, they already always believe that Jesus Christ was born in April. Now here with me, in this chart that I have here, the current year of last week of Christ is about the death. But we don't know about the birth first. But here even in this chart, that shows altogether five different kinds of views. Alright? Five views that people have. Different sect, different Christians will believe. And one of them is the number two. It's the one that they try to prove that Jesus Christ died on Friday, but they also believe that Jesus Christ took the Passover supper. Alright? On Tuesday night. Now, this is based on some sect that believe after, the devil Jesus Christ, there was a group that lived in the area called Qumran. That's where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. Alright? It is there that this Christian sect, they're always in the Qumran believer. And so they're based on that tradition. So now the thing is, the same thing about the birth of Christ, they're always based on some tradition. Now, we are not going to base it on tradition. We're going to look into the scripture to see what the scriptures say. Alright, so now look at this chart here. And I think you're well acquainted with this chart. Now, there are two rows of the calendar. The first, the top 6 months. It is called spiritual, first 6 months of the calendar. The one on the lower, the next 6 months, they call it the national period. Now when we look at this calendar, you understand that through the verse of the Bible, let's go. Somebody read it, okay? Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Exodus 12, verse 1 and 2.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you.
Alright, chapter 13, verse 4.
Exodus chapter 13, verse 4. This day came ye out in the month of Abib.
See, so it's a month of Abib. So, now remember this, that the children of Israel, they were in Egypt. The children of Israel were in Egypt as slaves. And they lived there for more than 200 years. Okay? Now, let's go back to the very beginning. When God created mankind, And then you have the serpent seed, you have the Kenites, and you have the Satites. The Bible didn't tell what kind of calendar do they have. They have, okay? We do not know. How they reckon days, whether they are weeks or not, or months or not, the Bible was kind of silent. But after the flood, we realized that if you go into archaeology, dig and so on, they have calendars that the Babylonian Empire, they created their own calendar. The Assyrian, their own calendar. The Egyptian, their own calendar. So, later on, as civilization one after another came about, they have their own calendar. Do you understand that? Now, today we use Gregorian calendar. Now, we have 7 days in a week. And you have Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, and so on. They have all these names. Before that, they have all sorts of names by different country. And even, for example, like we have Tuesday. Tuesday is believed to be Thor's day, which happened to be the Norse, the Viking, alright? How did the name arrive into the calendar? Well, Romans must have absorbed it. Monday is Moon Day. Sunday is Sunday. Huh? And Wednesday is a Wooden's Day. I don't know whoever that Wooden is. So, all these names. Now, the calendar that we have, the 6-7 days in a week now, when did it come into being? In the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, was there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Huh? They probably have it by the Romans. And the Romans at that time, they are still figuring out the calendar. There are even 8 days in a week and 9 days in a week. So until Constantine came into power in 321, he fixed the calendar like we have today, 7 days in a week. That's why we get this. Before that, there's nothing. They have all those various kinds of names that they have. But the Bible never used Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And they don't. Because the Bible is not concerning about the Romans. It's concerned about the Jewish people who happen to be living among the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Egyptians, and then finally Greece, and I mean the Romans and the Greeks and whatever. Do you understand? And then they absorb their culture. And then we find that when you are in a certain country and you are under a certain power, you sort of have to go along with the laws and the cultures, and you speak a little like them. Now, like Sister Barry and Sister Cora and family, they came here, they speak a bit, you know, how, and sort of behave a little bit and speak a little bit like what we have. And celebrate the festival like what we have here. You know. So this is how the influence came about. So now, but if we go back, before Israel were in Egypt, did they have their own calendar? Obviously they must have their own calendar, only the Bible don't tell us. And one thing about the calendar that Israel have is always mentioned about the day of the month. So now when they were in Egypt for so long, they were using the Egyptian calendar, they were eating Egyptian food, they behaved like Egyptian, they dressed perhaps like Egyptian too. Isn't it? Right? So, when God delivered them out of Egypt, that night he told Moses that this will be the beginning of the month. And it happened to be Abib, and he called it Abib. A new calendar that God gave them. So now I want you to know that when you have the first day of the first month, it must be a Sabbath, because the Bible said it will be a Sabbath later on. You find that. Now, since they came out of Egypt, and we know that according to the Abib, on the 10th day of Abib, they had to slack a lamb. They told me when they are out there in the wilderness, when they, you know, every year they have to have Passover. So on the 10th day of Abib, they must select a lamb and keep it up until the 14th day. And in the evening of the 14th day, they have to slay that lamb and roast it as a Passover lamb. Now this is very clear and it speaks. Now because of this calendar, this preacher was saying that, you see, Jesus Christ was born as a lamb, as a sacrifice lamb, so he was born in Abib. And therefore Abib, we know, is correspond to our month of end of March to early April. So is that how you interpret the Bible? Using types like that. Huh? That would not make sense, does it? You know? So they are using this sort of thing. And if you listen to any of this on the YouTube, they will always tell you that lambs are born in spring. Which of course in a sense is true. But that's only the true sense of the American sense. Because all that I know are American people, they always talk about. Lamb are born in spring, therefore Jesus was born in spring. They forgot something. The Mediterranean area are not American. Alright? Now if you look at the second part of the second portions of this calendar here, it begins with Tishri. Now, and we know that the first of Tishri must be a Sabbath. Because these are the 2 months that you cannot change. It's very standard. First of Abib is a Sabbath. First of Tishri, the 7th month, is a Sabbath. Okay, you cannot change that. And on the 10th of Abib, it's a working day. It can never be a Sabbath. On the 14th, of Abib, it must be a working day. It is not a Sabbath. 14 can never be a Sabbath. Neither the 16th of Abib be a Sabbath. It cannot change. Okay? You understand? So, this is how I believe that this is the true calendar of Israel. Israel actually had lost its calendar when they were, you know, not only when after they were scattered and captured by the Assyrian and into Assyria, and then the southern Judah nation went into captivity in Babylon. Huh? After 70 times 70, they came down right into Israel. What did they have? What calendar do they have? They had the Babylonian influence. But the Bible counts days. The 7th day of Abib, or the 14th day of Tishri, or the 30th day of such and such a month. There is no weekly 7 days in a week. They actually don't have it. Okay, so they reckon them by day. So how did they recognize day? First of all, if you look at this calendar, if the Bible said the first of Abib is a Sabbath, you work 6 days. The Bible law of God says, work 6 days, on the 7th day you rest. Obviously the 8th must be a Sabbath. It cannot change. So now all these on top here, they are Sabbath. Sabbath. Until the 4th of Sivan. Until the 4th of Sivan. Must be a Sabbath. Okay. Now the Bible said, the Pentecost is also a Sabbath. Is that right? So that's why we have a change. So 4th and 5th of Sivan are Sabbath of 48 hours. You got it? Okay, so after that you count from the 6th of Sivan. Count 6 days, not 5 days. And you cannot say the 11th of Sivan here is a Sabbath. You can't. You cannot. The Lord of God says, 6 days thou shalt work and 7 you rest. Now, if you were to put 11 in a Sabbath, then you find that the calendar is not going to work. Because every month in the calendar is 30 days minimum. There is no 29 days, no 28 days, no 31 days, no 32 days. And so when you come out to the end of the 6th month, the 30th day ended here. And 27 is a Sabbath. Right. Now since Tishri, the 7th month, right here, is a Sabbath, and from Elul you come. 1, 2, 3. Then back to 1 of Tishri is a Sabbath. You only got 3 days work. That's not the law of God. That's why the calendar, there's no such thing as 360 days calendar. No, never have it. Huh? Because the earth has been tilted, it has to be 365. So you have to add 3 days over in Elul. 1, 2, and 3. So the added 3 days, you have 6 days altogether, beginning from 28 of Elul. Then you have 6 days, and the 7th day is a Sabbath in Tishri. And the same thing when you walk all the way down to Adar, you find that you have to add 2 days. So that Sabbath will be here. Oops. So that Sabbath will be here. Right? Because you add 5 days to 360. So what about the odd numbers of a quarter? The hours and all this. I don't know how they adjust it. Just like in the world today. Every don't know how many years, they said that they have to put the clock backward or forward by how many minutes, right? You know that, isn't it? Yeah. So just because the earth is already wobbling and slowing down, or fast, going faster or going slower, rotating, we don't. How they, well, astronomers know how to calculate with the sun and all the stars and all that. You see. So now, when you talk about Tishri, this month of Tishri, you must understand that this is a national month. And this first 6 months are spiritual months to Israel. God dealing with them. And when God deal with you and me, as He did with the children of Israel, what is most important? Your physical life or your spiritual life? Spiritual life. That's why when you look at this Feast of Jehovah, for example. Now if you look at this Feast of Jehovah, we have on this one side here, you have 4 feasts already fulfilled. And we are all acquainted with this Feast of Jehovah. Right? The first four feasts have been fulfilled because God did with them spiritually. That's why the Passover. Then we have unleavened bread, first fruit, Pentecost. So these other 3 feasts is in the month of Tishri. Now these 3 feasts have not yet been fulfilled. Now the first 4 feasts, though it was fulfilled in Israel, it affects us because the spiritual side of it was that Christ died for sinners. That Christ died for the children of Israel. But Israel rejected, he went to the Gentiles, so we have these 4 feasts for ourselves now. So the last 3 feasts, trumpet, atonement, and tabernacle, they have to do with Israel. It has nothing to do with us. Because all these feasts are God's feasts, feasting with the children of Israel. Do you understand what I'm saying? When the gospel came to us, we didn't have anything to do with Passover. Literally in the sense of having a lamb and roast and eat it, right? But we have a Passover lamb in faith. That Christ died for us. He's our Savior. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And the same thing that He is the unleavened bread, the bread of life. The Word of God is not corrupt. No leavening. Then that He is the first fruit who raised from the dead. He became the first fruit of us all. So we will also, you know, be the first fruit unto God when He comes to take us. Then also we have Pentecost, that where we receive the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? On the spiritual side of it. But the Jew, they were they were keeping this feast all these many, many years before Christ came. But they didn't see the fulfillment of those feasts by Jesus Christ. Alright? So now, let's go to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 24, and read that verse as well. Brother Henry, will you read Leviticus 23, verse 24?
Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation.
Right. So you understand that the first of Tishri is the feast of trumpet. Huh? And that's what way we have from the same calendar chart, first of Tishri, it's the Sabbath. Alright, so I hope you understand this right now. Okay, so now let us go. And here was a brother that years ago wrote me a tract. And he was very sure that what he wrote was correct. But before he printed it, I gave it out. He sent it to me and asked me, Brother Guy, can you check if this is correct? Here he's trying to prove. The question is, did Jesus die on a Friday? Okay. And he went right now to this is the part where it's important I want you to look closely. He said this, but what was not taken into account by tradition Christian is that the next day after Jesus died was not the weekly Sabbath, but was a special Sabbath. It was the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the 15th day of the Jewish first month, on which day the Passover meal has to be eaten, and that day was to be observed as a Sabbath. So now what he's saying to say that there are two Sabbaths. And this is very common. Back when I was in the Assemblies of God, I came across this teaching. And I said, well, maybe that's correct. How did they teach that to be so? Because that Sabbath, the Bible mentioned the Sabbath as being a high day. Now, the word high day has been to many people, I said, it's kind of special. No. The Sabbath being called a high day, it is because it was the day, the evening, when they eat the Passover. When they eat the Passover in the evening, you know, they have to slay the Passover between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. They have to do it before 6 p.m. Then after that, they have to eat. And from 6 p.m. onward, the 15th day will be a Sabbath. So this Passover on the 14th, the lamb was slain, to the Passover feast on the 15th, which is a Sabbath, is known as a high day. Because this is the only time where the Sabbath is connected to the Passover. Do you understand? But they think that they are different. There are two Sabbaths. There is no such thing as two Sabbaths sticking together except for the 49th day to Pentecost. Counting from the 16th of Abib. The Sabbath, the day that Jesus died. You come from there, the Passover, the model after the Sabbath, which is the 14th, it becomes the 16th, you count 7 Sabbath pass and it's 49. 7 times 7 is 49. And the day after 49th day is 50th day, it's not a Pentecost, and 49 and 50th day from Abib the 16th, these 2 days are considered one Sabbath of 48 hours. It is the only one that you see in Scripture. Alright, so he's trying to say that, and over here, he wrote this, when we conclude, only when we conclude that Jesus died on Thursday at 3 p.m. So it's not that Jesus got died on a Friday, it's that Jesus got died on a Thursday. Okay, would the following scripture be fulfilled? Matthew 12:40. So the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And Luke 24:7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, the third day rise again. Now here we have this issue of the days. Okay, when Jesus Christ was to rise. We know the Bible said, Jesus said, these Pharisees, religious people, seek after a sign. And he said, there will be no sign given unto them, but except the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the hearts of the earth. So because on the mention of 3 days and three nights, they take it as 72 hours. There must be 3 days of dark, of light, and 3 nights of darkness to make it 72 hours. And so it falls that Jesus came down on the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He resurrected early in the morning. But then it still doesn't make sense. Some make Jesus come down on a Wednesday. Why did Jesus come down on a Wednesday? Because Wednesday happened to be the middle of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. 3 days on one side of Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 3 on one side. And what did the Bible say in the book of Daniel? In the midst of the week, it was cut off. So they took that and forced it that Jesus Christ died on a Wednesday. But in those days, in the days of Daniel, there was no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They don't count days like that. And there were never 7 days in a week. Never. Only 7 days in a week came into being when the Romans established the 7 days in a week. Before that, what do they have? The first day of the month. The 10th day of the month. The 21st day of the month, right? But only that you work 6 days and the 7th day you rest. 6 days and 7 days you rest. That's how, finally, the Roman people came into our understanding. Ha! So I know that 7 is a perfect number. 6 days then must work because man is great on the 6 days and man 7 days we rest. Perfect. And that's what God said. Work 6 days, 7 days you rest, right? But because God did not say that you work from Monday to Saturday and rest on Sunday. Now that he said that you work on Sunday to Friday and rest on Saturday. There was no such a thing like that. And this is why confused people who are not aware of what the scripture actually details, what the scripture actually say. So they get all messed up in this. Alright. Okay, now. Let me show you another chart. This particular one here. Here was my article that I wrote on the website. When was Jesus born? Now, I finally had to write this a couple of years back, I think now. Was because there are a lot of friends of mine that just keep on telling me I was wrong. You know, I said, Brother Abraham said, Jesus was born in April. Alright. So the question was, when and or what season of the year was Jesus Christ born? This question has often been posed to me, but whenever it comes from a friend of mine, the question is often accompanied by a regurgitation of what Brother Abraham said, quote from his sermons, just so to prove that no matter what my answer, I was wrong. Such believers have a sense of pride to think and believe they know what they do not know. Here is an example from one. I give it an initial, alright, MW, who disagreed with my teaching. He wrote, in your message, you state categorically that Christ was born in September. This view is close to the Catholic view than to the message or the Bible. And here's why. Here we have a smart guy. And as I say, who think he knows what doesn't know. Okay? Brother Branham said several times that he believed that Christ was born during springtime in Palestine, and that would put the time frame somewhere around April. This is also the time when the sheep have their lambs, and so it would not be surprising for the Lamb of God to be born around that time. Sounds logical. But my note, does MW know that Branham believed and taught that Jesus Christ preached for 3.5 years and died at age of 33. Do you know the problem said that? That he preached, that Jesus Christ preached for 3.5 years. And that he also died at age of 33.5. Abraham said that also. Now I want their grandma to eat their own words. If they can digest what Abraham is trying to say. And if they want to believe that Abraham was perfect and absolute in all these things, then they have him as their God. Because I don't believe Abraham to be absolute. Because there's only one absolute. And again to the Brahma who are watching this and you think that I'm condemning Brahma, I'm trying to make myself smarter, then you better be careful what you say. Because I'm standing in the judgment of God one day. But you, when you regurgitate anything the contrary to the scripture, you better be careful. Do you understand what I'm saying? Alright. Brahma said, the Jews have prayed for 3.5 years, died at 33, age of 33. How does it add up to 33.5 years? If Christ was born in April and died in April. Foolishness. And anti-Branham preacher will accuse Branham as a liar because he made such statement not once or twice, but several times. That's why we have anti-Branham people. Folks, Branham was human. There are mistakes here, there are discrepancy in his speech. Do you understand? Abraham was not a scribe. I made a lot of speech many times here, wrong words. Like, I think 2 days ago, or last 2 weeks ago, I was saying that God had Adam sacrifice Isaac. Right? I mean, now, if Abraham said that, yeah, Adam was the one who sacrificed Isaac. Yes. The Abraham said about 700 did not bow down to Baal. Was it 700 or was it supposed to be 7,000? And they make it 700. Yeah, it's true. If they are spiritual, only 700 make the rapture. I got all these characters telling me all that. Are we going to study the scripture and know what the Bible said? Or are we just simply going by what tradition said, what Brother Branham said, and we know nothing about the Word of God? That's why I love the Bible. People say, it's my favorite book. A lot of Christians say, if you ask them, what is your favorite book in your library? My Bible, the Bible. Really? If it's just on the shelf, did you read it? Oh yeah. Now I say, if you read it, do you really study it? God, through the Apostle Paul, admonished us to study it. Is that right? And God told John to eat of it. Right. Huh? Sweet in your mouth, but bitter in your inside. So that's what, how important the Word of God is to me. The more that you study, the more the rather you understand, then you appreciate what life is. You appreciate God. You appreciate all that which He's done for you. The reality of knowing He's real. No matter what name is, no matter what you go through life, you realize He's real. He's there. You see. So, then he said this. The other reason is that the Bible shows that shepherds were with the sheep out in the field when the angel appeared to them announcing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would never spend the night out there in open in late autumn or winter, which September represents. This point to a woman time of the birth of our Lord. Third point. The Roman had just been conducting a census during the time of the birth of the Lord. And this is why Joseph had to return with his wife Mary to Bethlehem. The Romans were wise people and they did not send out their soldiers to conduct a census in winter, but in warmer months. This is a historic fact. Really, if you look in there. This also points away from September and toward March, April. Joseph's wife was nearing full term of pregnancy, and he would never undertake a risky journey in winter because of the risk. 5. I said the view is closer to the Catholic teaching because September is closer to the Catholic December 25th than April. kind of really childish. Isn't it? You can still stick to September if you wish in order to maintain your message. But remember, it is at variance with the Bible and message teaching. They think that by holding to what Brother Abraham said, they are right. And I always tell this brother of mine, you've got to be careful. You make Brother Abraham God, absolute, and to where even the Congolese preacher make him God, and you will have trouble. You know. Interestingly, this believer's argument apparently sound, but he shot his own foot because he did not know the climate in Palestine are different from those in America. That's why one thing I want to say is a lot of America think that the whole world is America. Do you know that? The first time when I was there in 1979, when I went to Jeffersonville, Brother Jackson's convention, I was there. First time, second time I went in the following year. You know, some of the brothers said, "Brother Gan, you from Singapore?" I said, "Yeah, yeah." "Where is Singapore?" I said, "Where do you think Singapore is? Is it somewhere in China? Or is it somewhere in Vietnam?" You know? And they were at the table eating, you know, in the hall. And I look at the brother, I said, "Brother, I'm a believer that comes to this convention. And you know that there is a brother from Singapore. Why don't you look up in the map and find where Singapore is?" And he was actually ashamed. It's true. Even Brother Jack had to go to the pulpit and tell the people about Singapore, what Singapore is like. A lot of people, a lot of Americans, really sad to say, many of them don't think much of anything outside of Singapore. Everything is all American. You know, it's sad. So when you talk about, well, they asked me one time, I mean, not only one time, other times as well, does Singapore have a winter? See, they don't even know that we are in the equator. I mean, I told you we are only 6 miles from the equator. Huh? Or six miles from the equator. See, do you think what? Do you think that we have winter? See? Alright. Interestingly, this argument is partly sound, but he sold his own food because he did not know the climate in Palestine are different from those in America. There are many believers like him, foolishly quoting Branham without realizing that Branham might just be wrong in using the lambing season, spring of America, for that in Palestine. And it is a misleading notion to stress that sheep have their lambs only in spring. That is to say that there are no lambs born in any other season of the year. So all lambs must be born in spring. Huh? Even in countries with different seasons. Of course, spring in Australia is not April. So the month is different. Am I right? So do the lamb die in Australia born in April? Or is it some other time? Or the opposite? That will be what? That will be October. Alright. Let us also not forget that there are different kinds, different types of sheep. Consider the fat-tailed sheep. In the Arabic and Asiatic country, which lambing season are often in autumn and even winter, unlike those sheep in Western countries. So people think, America think that the sheep in America are probably the same as Palestine, or that in Palestine are the same as America. Huh? There are different kinds of sheep. They have Dorset sheep, they have these fat-tailed sheep, the woolen sheep, whatever the name that they have. Not all sheep give birth in spring, for that matter. And since that we have this fat-tailed sheep in the Arabic and Asiatic country, they give birth in autumn. And even in winter. So the general period, American four seasons are spring, March, equinox to June solstice. Summer, June solstice to September equinox. Autumn, what they call fall, which is September equinox to December solstice, and finally winter, December solstice to March equinox. But the four seasons in Palestine are different. During the Greco-Roman period, the Jews divide the year into four seasons. By using the original Hebrew names of the month in which each season began. The spring, 15th of Shebat, to the 1st of Tammuz, that is January to June. And then summer is 1st Tammuz to 1st of Tishri, that is June and September. And then we have autumn, the fall, 1st Tishri to 25th Kislev. September to November, and then we have winter, Kislev to 15th Shabbat, November to January. Now, the annual temperature range around the vicinity of Jerusalem, Bethlehem, is shown in this graph. Now look at the graph here. I mean, this is still standard here, there in the Palestine. Okay, here we have April. Look at April. Look at the temperature. Okay, going as low, and look at that, that's the rainfall. Okay, this is the rainfall. The blue one is the rainfall. This is the temperature. So April in Palestine, the temperature is lower than the temperature in September of the same year. September is warmer. Even October is warmer than April. So look at that, different. So people just blindly say because it's spring. Huh? Winter, of course, is the coldest month, as suggested by FW. The sheep could not be out in the field in winter or even the autumn. That is perhaps true in America, but in Palestine, the season happens to be the beginning of autumn. The temperature is still warm, about 28 degrees Celsius. However, the temperature in the month of March, April is much colder, being early spring, 7 degrees Celsius, which is cold. Can you see the difference? Does it make sense now? Alright. Therefore, the months of September, or of November to April, being cold months in Palestine, North America, are unlikely months for sheep to be out in the field. For the Roman government to conduct a census throughout the empire during those cold months would be self-defeating. Citizens would find it difficult to travel to their city or town of birth to be registered. That rules out Joseph and his pregnant wife Mary, making a trip from Nazareth all the way down to Bethlehem, since the census would not have been decreed. Therefore, the notion that Jesus was born in December or April is a lie. One is a Catholic teaching, the other an idolatrous belief or trust. Both are at variance with the sacred scripture. Both are held by mixed believers of the Bible. The only logical time of Jesus' birth must be in the late summer or early fall. Biblical account point to the fall of the year as a time of Jesus' birth. How do we know? Bible facts. Look at the Bible facts. Don't look at all this springtime and all these things, which is all guesswork. And I'm not interested in your tradition of what a sect in Quran down there, the Dead Sea, believe. It doesn't matter. Huh? There are a lot of Jewish belief and tradition that is not biblical. Do you know that? Okay. So now, Zechariah was a priest of the cause of Abia. And you find it in the book of Luke 1:5 said so. One day, angel Gabriel appeared to him while he was serving in a temple to tell that his wife Elizabeth would have a son. Jewish writing tells us that the service of Abijah, divisions of priests were studied for the last 2 weeks of the Hebrew month, Tammuz, which corresponds to June, July of the Gregorian calendar. Think about it. June, July. Okay? In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy with John the Baptist, Mary conceived Jesus, the month being Tevet, that is December, January. 3 months later, in the month of Nisan, that's late March, about the time of the feast of the Passover, John the Baptist was born, not Jesus. What's the difference of age between Jesus and John?
6 months.
Okay? Note The Jews have long held to the tradition that the prophet Elijah will return at Passover. It's funny, huh? If they go never attend a Jewish Passover feast, they always will have a cup there on the table. And perhaps sometimes even an empty chair. Who are they expecting? They are expecting Elijah to come. You understand? And John the Baptist was a type of Elijah, and he was born in Passover period. Now you talk about seeing what truth is. Whether the Jews have that tradition of waiting for Elijah to come. Because they believe that Elijah will come. And if he were to come, he will come in the Passover, because that's what they are waiting for. And John was born in April, or in the Passover period. Incidentally, John the Baptist was beheaded in the week before Passover, a year before Christ was crucified. Adding another 6 months, the difference in age between John and Jesus brings us to the 7th month, that is Tishri, September. Right? Tishri, September. Or October. When Jesus was likely born end of September, the Jews celebrate the Feast of Tabernacle in the month of Tishri. Remember? One of the feasts was Tabernacle. And what did the Bible say about Jesus Christ? Huh? And the Spirit of God tabernacle. You know, and Jesus in the book of Hebrew, as King David uttered sing the song. A sacrifice would thou not have, but a body has thou prepared for me. For the Logos, for the Word to come live. Do you see? Okay. Let us look again. How apt that Jesus would say to the Father, a body has thou prepared me. A revelation revealed to Paul concerning the prophetic utterance of King David in the praise of Yahweh in the 40th Psalm. Consider the day Jesus was born and the day he was baptized. The day he was born, what day was that? What month was that? September, Tishri. The day he was baptized, what month was that? Same month. A body was prepared when he was born as a baby, right? And then, when he was 30 years old, the Bible specifically said 30 years old, then was he baptized. And what the Bible said, heavens opened. And the Spirit of God came down and terminated in him. That fulfilled the scripture. Alright. How timely. Okay, let me just underline this area. Feast of Tabernacle. Alright. Yahweh's Son came into his temple and tabernacle in the flesh of his Son. How timely and fulfilling were his birth and incarnation. On the very same week of the Feast of Tabernacle, the Feast of Tabernacle is a feasting of thanksgiving, the most joyous of all the Jewish feasts. The significance of the feast will only be fully realized when our Lord Jesus returned to Tabernacle among men and reigned for 1,000 years during the age of regeneration. Those who insist that Jesus was born in April and died in April believe he only ministers 3 years. Right? If you're born in April, baptized in April, you die in April, your death must be an even number in your age. No 6 months, no 1 month, no 3 months, right? So, those who are uncertain believe it will be 2 years or even 4 years. Some don't even believe that. The Gospel of John showed that Jesus ministered longer than that. Apostle John recorded a total of 4 Passover. John chapter 2, 13, 5, 1, 6, 4, and chapter 13, verse 1. They are all together 4 Passover. So, 4 Passover, if you are born in the first Passover, the second Passover will be your first year of life. Third Passover will be your second year of your life. The fourth Passover will be 3 years of your life, right? But Jesus Christ came through all these four. He died on the last one. He was born 6 months before the first Passover. Study the book of the Bible. Study John. I studied it. I studied how many times? I'm familiar with it. The Bible does not lie. Alright? The time and event between the baptism of Jesus and the first mentioned Passover are the bridge in John's Gospel, chapter 1 to 2. Now, if you were to take all your four Gospels and then look at all those events, and you have to conclude that there are 3.5 years of Christ's ministry, not 3 years. The following 2 days, okay, let us read. John did not record about the Spirit leading Jesus into the wilderness to be tossed of the devil after his baptism, which Matthew did. After the 40 days of test of temptation, Jesus returned to Nazareth to recuperate. It is not known how long he remained in Nazareth before he went to Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where he was baptized. To where John the Baptist was preaching and baptizing. It was during one of the visits that the Baptist saw Jesus and declared, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Then the Bible said the following 2 days, Jesus called his first four disciples. Then on the third day, Jesus and his mother went to Canaan for the wedding. No record was given on the number of days for the wedding feast or the length of time that Jesus and his mother remained in Canaan after the wedding, before they returned to their home in Nazareth. During the late cold winter period, December to early March, Jesus and his immediate family most likely remained in Nazareth. There Jesus spent his time ministering. Where was Jesus Christ raised? Nazareth. Born in Bethlehem, live in Nazareth. Preach in Nazareth, okay, and they don't want him. He moved and lived in Capernaum. And Capernaum became his own city. Now, how many Christians studied the life of Jesus? No. Oh, the life of Brother Branham. Oh, I know he was born, the Lord came in such and such a year. What happened? They know everything about Brother Branham. And I have asked even some friend of mine, when was Jesus born? He hesitated. He had a better impression. Or I may be thinking that he was born in Jerusalem. But where was Brother Branham born? Oh, Kentucky. Where? Lord Kevin. Everybody knows that. The Apostle John then wrote, after this, the period event then detailed in John 1:33-43 and chapter 2 verse 1, concerning the movement of Jesus after John the Baptist declared him as the Lamb of God, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and there they continued not many days. There they preached, Jesus and his mother, brother, and four disciples. They moved out of Nazareth, where they had been raised, to stay in Capernaum. They were there not many days, that is then last. Now the word, the Bible is interesting, the word, you see the Bible said, they were there not many days. Well, how many days is not many days? When you go on a vacation, how many days did you go? Spend? Not many days. What is not many days? 3 days? 4 days? What is not many days? The interesting thing about this word in Greek is what it says here. That is less than many, but more than few. Comprehend that? Yeah. I did a study on how do I word this. So this is the way I could word better. Less than many, but more than few. How many is many? Four is many? No, obviously four is not many. So how do you quantify many? And how do you quantify few? Anybody can tell me that? In the finger? Anything beyond 10 is many? Less than 10 is few? Okay, so anyway, that's what it means right there. But I have to call the Passover was drawn in there, so they stayed in not many days. But it has to be a couple of days, but never not into many weeks. That's obviously. Jesus was raised in Nazareth, But the people of the city violently rejected him. After Jesus heard that John the Baptist was cast into prison, what happened? He left Nazareth to live in Capernaum, which became his own city. All in, the whole period could not have taken just a few weeks. It required a few months, from September to April. All the events that happened, the wedding, the choosing of the disciple, went back to Nazareth, went to Capernaum and preached, and went back to Nazareth, he preached, and then they rejected him, he moved over to Capernaum. You think all this stuff happened only a few days? 1 or 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? It must take several weeks. You know, in fact, it is calculated to be not less than 4 months. If you want to look at all the events, it takes not less than 4 months. So it's between 4 months to 6 months period. Huh. And so, Jesus says, it required a few months, from September to April. And so there is no doubt that our Lord ministered for 3.5 years. After his baptism in late September, the time of the Feast of Tabernacle, the same period of his birth. 30 years later, Jesus was crucified in the month of April on Passover day at the age of 33.5 years old. So, the angel visit, look at this chart here, right? The angel visit Zechariah. That is June, July. Okay? And Mary then conceived 6 months later. That is the month of December to January. Alright? John the Baptist was born. Period of 3 months. 6 months later, Jesus was born. Right. Huh? And then we have 30 years, Jesus was baptized, and then he ministered for 3.5 years, and he was crucified. And his crucifixion was in Passover. He cannot be born in Passover. Does that make any sense now? Alright, let's go. Now this is the Bible scriptural day of Christ's death. Now, Jesus Christ went to Bethany. He had the anointing of his feet, you know, by the woman. And then later on, the following day, he went to Jerusalem, the triumphant entry. Okay, remember this particular day? What was this particular day? Nisan 10. Remember Nisan 10? Do you remember what it says, the Bible said? You take a lamb. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Verse 3. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for home. On the 10th day. And you keep on until 14th day. So on the 10th day, on this 10th day of Nisan or Abib, as it is changed, the name will change because of the different culture that came in. And Jesus went into the city of Jerusalem. Remember, the city of Jerusalem represents, that was his city. The city of God, the city of peace. That was his city. He was to be crucified in Jerusalem. But he didn't crucify within the gate. He was crucified outside of the gate. The hill of Golgotha. Not in the city. Because the city of Jerusalem has become, or had become in his time, Sodom and Gomorrah. It's become a terrible city. And even the Bible talks about what it's become of today. City of Jerusalem will become worse until Christ comes. So he went to the city to cleanse the temple. Remember? And the day following of Nisan 11, he was up there with his disciples and he cursed the fig tree. Remember? And then the following day he came back, the fig tree died. So, as you go on, so now, on the 13th of Nisan, which will be a Thursday to us, but don't think about Thursday first. Just don't worry. Just talk about the date in Hebrew, Nisan. It's the preparation of the Passover. Now, that's when the disciples asked Jesus, "Where will you want us to prepare for you the Passover? Because it's coming." Okay? And Jesus told them what to do, you know, and so they went and prepared the room where they would have the Passover. So, the preparation for the Passover, the Last Supper, which was an ordinary meal, was eaten on the Thursday evening. Now, this is Thursday here, still in the dark. This is our day. Right? Israel is 6 hours ahead. Remember, the Sabbath starts when? Friday evening of our time, 6 p.m. Okay, 6 p.m. on Friday evening to Saturday is the Passover. So they always they count time by 6 p.m. From 6 p.m. We are only creature, the Gentile is the only creature that consider midnight. Not when the sun set. That's why there is a lot of confusion in these changes of time. So then Jesus Christ took the Last Supper. He did not eat the Passover. Now they have been the argument that he did eat the Passover lamb. He didn't. We'll look at one particular one later. Then they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, what happened? He was arrested. And then put on trial. Throughout the whole night. Until the morning comes at 9 a.m. He was taken to Mount Calvary and crucified. From 9 a.m. And to 3 hours later at 12 noon. What happened? You should know. What happened at 12 noon? The sky darkened for 3 hours. And that was the time for 3 hours. It seems to Jesus Christ dying on the cross that God had forsaken him. It shows how dark the time was for our Savior. It seems that God had just turned his face away and rejected him or something. No. It's just that God hates sin. And he wants Christ to bear all that sin. It's a heavy load. You know, when you try through a period of trial, it seems that you are in a dark period of time. He used the word. So until 3 p.m., he expired. So between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. right now, these 3 hours, they have to take the lamb which they have and slay it and roast it for the Passover that which will come in that particular night over here. They will have to eat the Passover in this period, which is 6 p.m. Because from here onwards will be what? The Sabbath. 15 is the Sabbath. Remember the Feast of Jehovah? You remember the calendar? Right. So, Christ was taken down from the cross, shod with a linen cloth, and put into the tomb, the sepulchre of Joseph of Arimathea. So, Christ was there on the Sabbath. Now, well, interestingly, of course, Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. He is our rest. He is our Passover lamb here. And he is our rest over here. Right. And then, on Sunday morning, he resurrected. He is the first fruit. The firstborn among many brethren. The first resurrection
from among the dead. You know, being the first fruit, he's coming for us because we are part of his body, the cream of the crop. So he resurrected. So now, Christ could not die here. He can't die here. No way. Neither can he die here on a Wednesday. No way. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about 72 hours, 3 days, and 3 nights. That's where the problem is. Go to the book of Daniel chapter 8 verse 26. Daniel chapter 8 verse 26.
And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days.
Amen. So now, evening and the morning. Now, not only Daniel mentioned it. In the book of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, what did he say? The evening and the morning. Not the morning and the evening. It's the evening and the morning, the evening and the morning. Now, when the Greek comes along, the Roman comes along, the Bible was recorded in the common language, Greek. So, when they speak, they will speak in that language. You know, Jesus speak Greek as well. Huh? Don't tell me that Jesus always speak Aramaic and Hebrew. Huh? He speaks Greek language. Huh? So, when your journey says 3 days and 3 nights, it's the expression of the Gentiles, not the Hebrew. Now, you all know that sometimes when we talk on a certain expression, Zara was telling me about certain expression, Japanese, when you are invited to come, you better show face.
Push your
face. Or push your face. It means that you must come. The Chinese, if you are invited to come to a party or something, and some important event, and the Chinese will say, my pan pei di. Make sure, means you don't abscond. Fly off somewhere. And the Japanese say, you must push your face. Means you must come. Show your face and push your face. Now, culture have their own expression. Now, I don't know what about days. How we Chinese count days. Or how did the Indian consider days. How they express it. I don't know. All different culture have their own different expression. Right? You know what I'm saying? Now, the Filipino, I know one thing. I know when you greet them, something, you know, greet them this and that, they say same thing to you. Same thing. They judge you were same thing. They're short form, ditto. So next time when somebody is happy, I wish you the best of everything, you just reply, ditto to you. Yeah, that's just expression. So the Greek expression is day and night. The Hebrew expression is evening and morning. Okay, go to 2 Corinthians verse 11:25. The same thing here. That's Paul. 2 Corinthians 11:25. All right, read it. Who got it?
Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I lived in the deep.
See, a night and a day. Paul did not say a day and a night. He said a night and a day. Evening, morning. That's a Hebrew speech. When they write, night and day. When they speak, it's probably different. In the term when you're speaking to the, in Greek or something. That is a particular expression. That's why he said, do you know your brother? Do you know your Bible, Brother Gunn? I surely do. I have studied the way the Bible presents itself, the Hebrew expression, and the background to why they speak and the certain culture that they embraced. And that's why people do not understand this. They can go to theological school and they study and they still miss it. If it wasn't for God's revelation, God's Spirit, the anointing to stimulate the mind, to understand, the Spirit to understand, you cannot understand that. You must have a love for truth. Not because, oh, I want to be a preacher. I go to Bible school and train and now I preach out and regurgitate what was produced or the way I was taught in seminar or in the Bible school. You know what I'm talking about? Factory product. All comes out regurgitating the same thing. Who taught Brother Branham? Did he go to Bible school? No. He was taught by the Spirit. What about Paul? Who taught Paul? Paul said, I was not taught by the revelation of man. I was not taught by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was out there in the desert for 3 years. And all that which was taught of him by Gamaliel, out there in the Sanhedrin, out there in the Pharisaical circle, he considered that. You see. So we need to understand the expression. One person of the expression, that's the reason why we talk about sometimes when we say certain words. When you go to certain country, be sure you don't use certain words that to them might be offensive. Do you all know some of this? I'm not sure if you all know. There are certain words that we use if we go there, and even certain sign. That's the reason why when Brother John Mark came, first time when he was preaching, you know the sign he was doing this. To us here, that's a dirty sign. And I said, what does that mean, Brother John? And Brother John Mark said, oh, it means that the bottle is full to the top. You know the bottle top, right? So it's full. I said, oh, okay. But don't do that often, because that's a dirty sign here. And so also something with our hands, fingers, huh? So be careful, you don't do certain sign. Some people might be of certain country, point, you know what you do with the two finger, three finger, what you point, can be very offensive. That's the reason why I go out there, don't do signs. Cultures are like that. So we need to know. So okay, let's go to Luke, last verse. Luke chapter 22, verse 15 to 16. Now this one here will tell you whether Jesus did take the Passover or not. So the problem where people say that Jesus took the Passover, yeah, he did take the Passover. And that's the one that sometimes they want to separate the two Passover a day. That Jesus had a Passover on a Thursday, and then there's another Passover on a Friday. You know. Or even that he eat the Passover on Tuesday. Now, let's look at what it says over in Luke 22, verse 15 to 16. Brother Henry, read.
Luke chapter 22, 15 to 16. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled the kingdom of God.
Yeah, he said the verse, he said Jesus Christ said he desired to eat. I mean, already tell you something already, right? I desire to eat. But then the next verse says, I will not eat anymore. People say, no, it means that he desired to eat, he eat it, but he will not eat it anymore after he eat it. That's what it means. The word here, the word anymore, Bible numeric structure, I will clearly establish that the word must be omitted. That is to say, I will not eat thereof. You know? But yet the word animal, to some translate it, shall not, and no why, no way shall I eat it until I come in my Father's kingdom. That's why I love the Bible numeric structure. It establishes a lot of facts of some word that's been not correctly translated. And numerical structure establishes what word should be there. You see? So Jesus did not eat the Passover because he eat the meal on Thursday on Nisan the 13th evening was an ordinary meal. They went to the table that was prepared. So they went there. Since the table was prepared for the Passover that was coming, they just went there. And they just ate the ordinary meal. There was no Passover lamb there. Because that day he was fulfilling himself to be the Passover lamb. Other days he ate them, yes. Because he was a Jew, he must keep those traditions and those feasts. That's why he will go down the Passover, he go to the temple when it's Pentecost, and every feast that the Jew have, he will go down to the temple when it is required of him. And he kept them all. But this particular day, the day that comes ahead of him, was the Passover, and he was to be fulfilling that. That is why he cannot eat the lamb on Thursday, and then there was a lamb on Friday. Who got the idea? What did the idea come from? You see. So people are trying to force feed it. And you cannot force feed it. Because the Bible clearly tells us this. If you go back to the chart, let's go to this one here. Now you look at this chart, and we already know. Passover. It's the first of Abib. First of Abib is here. That's the day they came out. Okay? And there's a Sabbath. And the Bible says on the 10th day. And there's a 10th of Nisan or Abib. That Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem. And they keep the lamb until the 14th day, and then you'll be slain. So Christ died on the 14th day. And even before the 15th day starts at 6 p.m., which is the Sabbath. Which is the Sabbath? 15 here. And then the 16th is also a feast, the first fruit. Remember? 14, 15, 16. You still forget? Let's go down. Look at this again. This is 14, Passover. Alright, the unleavened bread, which is the Passover, the supper day, the start of 15. And then first fruit, you resurrected. That's why you have the cross. 14, unleavened bread. 15, when he was buried there, he resurrected on the 16th. The tomb is empty. These are the feasts he fulfilled. You cannot force it any other way. I don't care what the denomination say, but I'm trying to tell a lot of Branhamites and those people for the entire message. They're still very confused because Brother Ben said this, Brother Ben said that. Why don't they look at the scripture and determine what the scriptures say? Because Brother Ben and I'm saying things that if you do not know what you're looking at, you get yourself lost. You cannot fit Christ's ministry of 3.5 years when he was born in April to die in April when he was baptized at the age of 30. You understand what I'm saying? He was baptized at the age of 30. And a minister for 3.5 years, Brother Ben said that. So how did he die in April? And I'll ask this question to many Branhamites. They don't know how to answer. They just keep quiet. That's not what we want. What we want is the scripture. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are to us, Father. Thank you for your word of truth. We appreciate, O Father, you love us, and that word, O Lord, is precious to us, more than fine gold, because it is life, O Father. It is your glory, the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose life was broken and whose blood was shed for us, for redemption of our sin, that we might be reconciled back to you, Heavenly Father. Therefore, Lord, help us to not just appreciate your word, but to treasure it, to love it, to study it, for the days ahead, that which we know the scripture talks about. There will be troubled times ahead. And also we are looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, we do not know what we will face between now and then of his coming. But we ask for grace, continue, Lord, to work in our life. Bless each and every one of us now, Father. We commit the rest of the day to you in Jesus' name. Amen.